Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we feel this morning something like the disciples who said, "Evermore, give us of this bread of life." And we know, Lord, that you have already done that, and you have given us not only the evermore, but you've given us the last hour word, the last portion of that divine loaf. And now we know the great giver himself is here, and we would want to acknowledge that evermore and never, ever be unmindful of that. No matter what condition we find ourselves in or whatsoever obtains, we pray that this one by whom all things are made and all things are maintained might ever have the preeminence. And we pray that this shall be your portion this morning, Lord, our giving to you the preeminence due to revelation, because you're worthy, knowing, Lord, we stand in awe of thy great presence, and knowing we stand in awe of the time in which we live, knowing that we are about to be translated out of here. May we always live in that consciousness, always live within the flame of that light that has come in this hour, because your light is life. So we commend ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, it's been very nice to have Brother Brown with us this week. I had actually kind of got my wires crossed up. I thought that he was very definitely going to go and preach for Brother Bill Smith. So we had him minister over Brother Miller's on Wednesday, which is very fine. And then he kind of got a cold when he didn't want one. And so I really had wanted him to minister this morning, but I'm not one person to ever take anybody's vacation away if I can help it. And I know he needs a bit of vacation. I thought, well, one day I'm going to get mine. I keep promising myself, and I want you to know that when they tack the lid on my coffin, I want Lloyd and a couple more to pry the lid off and say, "Now hold it, he hasn't had his vacation." And you just don't do things that way. So, all right, we're going to go to the rapture again. And for over the last 3 months, and maybe 3 months and a half or four, we've been dealing almost exclusively with the rapture, the doctrine or teaching as set forth by Brother Branham back in about, December the 4th, 1965. Now, during the times, and there's been, I suppose, 18, 20 hours of preaching, during that time, we noticed several comments that Brother Branham made that aren't actually or literally a part of the doctrine per se, that is the doctrine of the rapture per se, but actually constitute a warning that his teaching would be repudiated. And that this would be, of course, in the eyes of the fundamentalists, and this teaching would brand him even falser than he already was branded because of the doctrine of the oneness of the Godhead. So Brother Branham was letting us know ahead of time that this doctrine was going to get him into hot water. Now, I want to go over, of course, in this message, wherein he did say that he would not be welcomed as to his doctrine by the fundamentalists, and they would then deny his correctness in the Word of Almighty God. So, to begin with, we go to page 5, which actually we have not read before, and in paragraph 27. Now, I want to speak on a real strange subject tonight just for a little while. I've got some scripture written down here, and I thought maybe that well, tonight I was going to speak on something different, but seeing the time get away, I didn't want to stay that long, so I just turned over here and got some scripture. In other words, he had thought of another subject, and no doubt he had, was perhaps in his mind reserving this message for Jeffersonville. But something came up that he felt that he would have to, if he took his original subject, would be far too long. So he said, "All right, I'm going to speak on the rapture tonight. I want to speak on the subject of the rapture." Now notice he says, "I want to speak on a real strange subject tonight just for a little while." the rapture. Now, he calls it a strange subject. So, is it strange to us in that we actually are unfamiliar with it, know actually little or nothing about it, or is it strange in the sense that it is a conundrum within itself? It is obtuse or vague as compared to other doctrines or as to its importance. Now, he says it's a strange subject. I never thought it was strange. Always thought that was one thing that wasn't strange. Now, he says it's a strange subject. Now, the question as to what the strangeness is, either peculiar or unfamiliar, is answered on page 6 in paragraph 30. Now, today speaking on this subject, and now some of you may differ from the avenues that I take. But how many in here believes the Bible teaches there'll be a rapture of the church? Everybody raise his hand. A catching away of the church. Whether you're Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever you are, Pentecostal, there will be a catching away. Now, it is very evident that the rapture as a subject is familiar to all Christians. He said so. So the strangeness does not lie in this man presenting something that has not been presented previously or is not definitely well known or in a measure well known and very well accepted. So we're not talking about Roman Catholic doctrines. Is there a purgatory? Based on 1 Corinthians 3. The works being burnt up and so on, but the man being saved is by fire, so let's give him some fire. No, he's talking to the fundamentalist. It is also evident that no Christian should call it strange. But it is baffling and admittedly so. And admittedly so, in the minds of most Christians, when it comes to a universal agreement on a time slot, when does the rapture take place? Does it take place before the tribulation? In the middle of the tribulation? At the end of the tribulation? Or at the end of the second resurrection? The end of the millennium. Now, all of those places from Scripture, you can find a time slot. So, therefore, it could be baffling or strange or obtuse in that particular area because this doctrine, therefore, has never arrived at in the mind of the true believer as that which is definitive. As long as one group can come against another group, and you've got Scripture galore. In fact, there is far more Scripture in behalf of the rapture in the middle of the tribulation or after the tribulation than there is for before it. Unless you really know your Bible, you would have a great time persuading anybody of an adverse mind to a pre-trib doctrine that person should come your way in believing you'll go up before the tribulation. So, what is most evident is that the avenues or his actual personal teaching of the rapture is what turns out to be strange. Now, Brother Branham is saying this doctrine is strange. And they say, now, hey, you're pulling our leg. As usual. You're trying to let on something here. See? We don't go with that. Now, speaking on this subject, now some of you may differ from the avenues that I take. Now, notice instantly that he attributes his understanding or his avenues of understanding to God. 31. And I think that in speaking, I just don't try to get up here and say something that I think would please the people. I've never been guilty of that. I want to get up here and say something as I feel led to say it. Well, now, just a minute. If I feel led to say something, am I being led by myself as an authority, or am I being brought into a realm through another personality as I feel led to say it? That I think would be a help to you, something that would further your experience with God if you are a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, make you so absolutely scared you'll shiver and shake and tremble. If you're not a Christian, make you so ashamed of yourself that you will become a Christian. And that's the purpose that I've always tried to line up my thoughts as the Lord would lead me. Okay. Page 32. Paragraph 156. You're not blind people. You're sensible people. And if I stood here and said those things for prejudice, no way. I say it because it's life and I'm responsible to God for saying it. Now, a lot of people can say that and they're liars. A lot of people can say that, and as far as they know, they're not liars. But when you stand up in the face of a crowd and put yourself in a position of God to the people, then you had better know it's God that you got your message from. And with this, page 14, 65 and 66. Did you know, no, pardon me, but to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her, that revelation. The true bride in Christ will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that's been revealed to you like it was to Abraham. That could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. Now, if you're just an ordinary fundamentalist and you haven't caught on to Brother Branham, by this time you're simply saying, well, he's a nice fellow, and he said, if you know, he's telling you flat that whatever is there and you believe, out. Once you strike this, once you strike this, there is nothing but this. That's what faith is the revelation of God. The church is built upon a revelation, the whole and entire body. Now notice you'll find here that he attributes categorically his understanding or avenues to Almighty God Himself, as though and in fact He has nothing to do with the revelation except that He got it. And now He's presenting it. And also notice instantly and emphatically that He does not place this divine revelation of the rapture into a community revelation. But it is in the singular and by a prophet. Page 16, paragraph 75. And now the book was written. But then remember, it was sealed with seven seals. And these seven seals were not to be opened. Revelation 10. Until the sounding of the last earthly messenger on earth. Revelation 10, 7. See? And in the days of the sounding of the last angel's message, seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished in that age. And that's the age that we are living in. All right? He puts it in the singular, that it is not a community revelation, because he's talking on the rapture. It will categorically come to a person in the singular, and that will be a messenger of the seventh church age, as every other age had a message and messenger in the singular. Furthermore, let us note he places a further mystery on this mystery in paragraph 17, page 17 rather, 81 and 82. Now the rapture is only, this rapture that we're talking about is only for the bride. Now that's compounding the mystery. Remember the Bible said, and the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. This great rapture. If there's not a rapture, friends, where are we at? What are we going to do? What age are we living in? What promise do we have? There is going to be a rapture. And the Bible says there will be. And it'll be only for the elected. The elected lady, the bride in this day that's pulled out of the church. The very word church means called out of. And as Moses called a nation out of a nation, the Holy Spirit is calling a bride out of a church. A church out of a church. Members from every denomination making up a bride tree. And that's the one that is the bride. She is the one that's going to be in the rapture, and that alone, nothing but the bride, elected one, foreknown by God from the beginning, the Father's spiritual genes. Now, right off the bat, he has set himself in contrary distinction with the free will agents and with the legalists. So, therefore, now he is not only a one-godder, which is a blasphemer, but he is a superlative and a superb idiot. Because anybody knows there's no such thing as election. There is no such thing as a preconceived or designated and a fulfilled plan based on those principles, because God would not be God. Now, he's alienating everybody from this doctrine that he teaches. And he lays the whole thing right in the lap of Almighty God. Now, this fellow either knows something or he's an idiot. And Brother Branham knew categorically that his preaching marked him, even to the extent that he thought he was going to be martyred. The vision he had of the tracheotomy, he fully placed to be a homicide, and he the victim. Even found weeping one day out in the woods by one of his dearest friends, and asked why he was weeping with his hands over his head, like warding off something to harm him, as he bent over a log, and he said, "They will get me." Now, he knew what he was doing. His hatred did not bring on martyrdom, but it may bring on ours. I don't know. What's the squeeze going to be? Don't ask me. All I know is that once you step outside the organized church, if it ever goes that far, there'll be none of us left to minister. And you might as well face it. This church will be no longer. The doors closed, the sheep scattered. And it may be fortunate that some of us people have never had a pastor but had to tough it alone. And remember, the crow and the dove sits on the same branch. Or I don't know my Bible. Now, the mystery on top of mystery. So what I have to tell you from Almighty God, unless you're purely elect, you will not get it. You are not supposed to get it. You're out. Isn't that a nice way to gain favor and be popular? Now we can categorically see that Brother Branham's teaching will be received only by the elect, and only the elect will be in the rapture. That is what he said. And that became a lead balloon, a real poser to the people who sat there. And I know they sat there saying, how long do we have to listen to this man that Carl Williams brings into our meetings? I thought we got rid of him by his own word when he said, the day you organize, that's the day I walk out. And we organized. And we wrote our creeds and our dogmas, and we professed the Trinity. Why hasn't he left? Well, old Carl, though, maybe he'll die shortly. You say, Brother Vail, don't Brother Vail me. You people sitting here, you're still back in your infancy. Do you still understand that people lie in wait to deceive, and the church murders, and the church is led by Satan? That one word of is Satan's kingdom. And you're not playing footsie. You're being despotically ruled by the forces of hell. See, I belong to God. You belong to the devil. So would I if I'm off. Let's get the record straight. At least have the guts of Achan. Joshua came by that great day after the battle when Israel couldn't get to first base. He said, all right, what's going on here? God says, sit in a camp! Well, he said, we better find out. The man that had the lots cast lots. He had faith. You know, you can have faith casting lots. You have to be a Christian even. Certain person said, one day I'm going to be where you are. And I said, my wife is not going to be there, so you are not going to be there. Oh, she said, I'll bring my sister-in-law. I said, you'll bring nothing. You want me to prove it? Give me a penny. Heads. You don't go. Heads. I said, again. I've 17 times in a row. You do it. I said, you want 117 times? You got to have guts.
Amen.
That's your calculated risk. You don't even have to have teeth to grit them. You can gum them to death. You got guts. Joshua stood there casting his lots. They took Achan's household in this, and he said, Achan, give God the glory and confess. In other words, you're caught. Too late, you listened. But you better own up. They took him out and stoned him. And Brother Branham said, many will die because they took this message too late. Lead balloon. I'm criticized by certain preachers that leave Vail's like all the rest, like the Thunders and the rest of them. He scares the people. And then he said, if you believe, he gives a reward. I want to tell you, that guy, I'll meet him somewhere. Oh, yes, I'll meet that man.
Praise the Lord.
One of us or both of us will go down. I have no reward for you people here. Don't think I'm trying to scare you, because I'm not interested in scare tactics. I've never used them and I never will. Because I'll tell you to your faces, if you are not elect and I am not elect, you can fear God, you can fear the devil, you can fear me, you can fear everybody. And you'll go to the lake of fire being afraid, because you're just scaredy cats. That's right. Yeah. I got no reward for you. What have I ever given any of you? Sap. Well, you got that much more coming. If I am holding out a reward, having brought you by fear, then William Branham did it for me. I never was afraid of William Branham. I'm not afraid now. I'm not afraid of God. Why should I be? If anybody's afraid of me, you're sicker than I am. Such abrupt and condemning teaching as Brother Branham's on the rapture is seen in page 7, 32 to 35. Of course, that's speaking of 2 Peter. And then he said, now we see the reason this subject is made so light of, enlightened at, which is made light of, scoffers, is because that the prophet here has said in this last days these scoffers would come saying these things. It's predicted. The reason the people are acting today the way they're acting. It's written of them. That's why they're doing it. Why, you're certainly expecting it, because the Bible said that in the last days be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Yet they're out there dying. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers, those that are good, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now these are those who despise what Brother Branham simply said about a rapture. You say, now just a minute, Brother Branham. Like that woman in shorts and cut her hair. Why, she said, I've been true to my husband. I was brought up to, I was taught to be, to hold my body sacred. But you fornicated with every dog on the street. And even every virtuous man turned his eyes for a minute to watch your flesh go by. Now where do you stand? Where do we stand? Are we sitting here just for the fun of it? Can we look for an impersonation of truth? Certainly. For Moses went down to Egypt to deliver. To deliver? Brother Branham, are you trying to tell us that you're like Moses, you're a deliverer? Well, I'm glad you said it for me. Hold on now just a minute. Don't just a minute me. What would God have done without Moses? Oh, you say, well, just a minute now. You see, he sent Jesus. Then why did he bother sending Paul? Who needs Paul? Who needs anybody? Why have you got five-fold ministry? Why have you got two non-elect deacons and elders? Why do you bother having a church? Why bother anything? Let's get back to the hard shells. If you were going to be there, he said, now hold it. You see, we didn't say that. Then what in the name of sense are you saying? Idiots. I mean idiots. Insane. Not just idiots. Insane. Religion. A dog would have more religion than this. I think a baboon could be trained higher. Well, listen, get what I've been saying. Here's your people today. Here's your church today. Here's your Christian today. Somebody better have his head screwed on, right? Now listen, 2,000 years after Jesus, we're getting worse and worse and worse. He said, John the Baptist, he came, he said, fasting and very sober. And he said, you say that, why, the guy is cuckoo.
He said, I and my group, he said, we come eating and drinking because evidently that's what you want. And you say, hey, got devils. He said, most men, what can I expect out of you birds? Well, I want to know. Where are the people today? Where are the people today? Where are they today? If they haven't walked into a trap for the last time of unmitigated blasphemy, I miss my guess. And I'll take the Bible and the rapture tape and I'll say, I can't say go out and get drunk because I don't like drinking until I get drunk. I don't even get drinking until I get anywhere near getting drunk. And I'm too old to go out and carouse. Blow my brains out, what for? Might as well stick around and bug somebody. I've been bugged long enough, let me bug somebody. In other words, look, if it all it is a hodgepodge, let's get hodgepodged. Can't you see what this message did for the last sermon Brother Branham gave? He put the cap on the climax. He blew it. It's all over. And people wondering what's going on. Sent Moses down to deliver the children of Egypt with only a stick in his hand for vindication. With the God of heaven behind him, he performed a miracle. There come the impersonators behind him doing the same thing he did. Now that's the miracle workers. That's the burdens of false anointed. But when you talk about William Branham prophet, he is taking and setting in order what was messed up. He's not bringing anything forth that's new. He's explaining the mystery from before the foundation of the world to this very place. So God can get us out of here. I was going to get you out of here before 1 o'clock, but set your clocks for 2. Anybody got an alarm for 2 o'clock, set it, and I'll see if I get you out of here by 3. No, I won't hope not that long. I'm going to take my time. I don't give a rip. I'll take my time anyway and yours too. Now listen. Now they come second after he did at first. Then they come around because they were copying after what he did, impersonating the original. We find that. Now you say, well, that was in the days of Moses. But the same scripture says they'll come again in the last days. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these men of reprobate mind concerning the truth. Now remember, Brother Branham said, if any man ever brings a message and it rings the bell in the denomination that man is in, that they don't kick him out, that word came from hell, it didn't come from God. Now when these people rise up impersonating a miracle ministry, and then they do not repudiate the very word of the hour that their church is in, but repudiate the word of the hour that the prophet is in, something's wrong somewhere. They've sealed their doom. They're finished. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Sid. You sit here this morning, in the light of what I'm teaching, based upon Brother Branham, you better examine every single thing that you have ever learned in your life in the light of this word and put it aside absolutely. Every single doctrine you have ever learned, then bring your mind to William Branham. That's right. For you don't have any hope of ever being right. Because you're going to put a new patch on an old garment. It's not going to work. But I'm going to tell you, the minute you do is when the light and glory of God begins coming in. And you'll see the rainbow colors begin to flash in illumination. The doctrines and those things come out, and every time it won't be a doctrine, it'll be living bread, Christ Himself revealed. Now, he says here, and then if this rapture, no, reprobate mind, see, impersonating all kinds of things to upset the people. Now, the impersonating of the miracles is to get the people's eyes on something they shouldn't have their eyes on. Now, Brother Branham explains it. Well, Brother Branham, just a minute. Why then did you have those miracles? That was to get you to stand still like Christ had them stand still until he could begin to preach to them. God gaining favor, which means acceptance. That if you see and believe this, then you listen to me. Now, Brother Branham said, these guys will come right behind. And they'll have big ministries, tremendous ministries at Janus and Jammers. For what reason? It's to kill the effectiveness of the Word. To kill the effect of it. To destroy it. To keep the people in bondage. To their dogmas. Then if this rapture which is coming to pass. Didn't say which will come to pass. It's coming to pass. It's already in progress. In a certain sense. Anything that God has in line of His Word. There's always something to come out and upset that if it can. It's Satan's purpose to do that. Now, he tells you where these guys are. They're right in Satan's purpose. Brother, sister, the Bible said we're the purpose of God. What a tragic thing to realize in this hour a man could stand there even as a shepherd separating sheep from goats as he was preaching. Oh, yes, it's going on now. Oh, yes, it's going on now. It's already started. It's been enforced because God's never changed. But in this hour, it's more and more manifest. That's all you got to know. The hour of the manifestation and what is supposed to manifest. That's God. Are you listening? I'm preaching Prophet William Branham right down the line. You should catch it. It's not hard. It's not hard at all. All right. Let's sort of stop here and ask a question. What avenue does Brother Branham take that brings about the public denying of his faith when it comes to the rapture? Where is he off mark with the Christians who believe rapture? Well, to answer, we ask, what is commonly believed today by the majority on this subject? And the answer is, Jesus begins to descend. He then raises the dead. He changes the living and catches them all up with their resurrected ones preceding the living ones. Well, Brother Branham teaches that the dead are raised, the living are changed, then both caught up with the resurrected saints going first. So what's the difference? The difference lies exactly wherein a revelation from God Himself is necessary to know what a certain statement relative to the rapture means. I want to repeat that. The difference between Brother Branham is categorically scriptural. He has struck a scriptural vein. There is a place in the Word that we have got to find out from God exactly what it means or bluey. Or you say, well, that really doesn't matter. Then why did God put it in there? He said, not one word of God is void of power. Not one jot, one tittle. Then why did I overlook this? He said, we're going to guess at it. What if you guess wrong? The difference lies exactly wherein a revelation from God Himself is necessary to know what a certain statement relative to the rapture means. You say, what are you saying? All right, I'll tell you what I'm saying. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And who gives a rip? Long as the dead get up. Isn't that nice? Then who gives a rip about anything? Now the mealy-mouthed fundamentalist, he's right back to where he can't stand the far-out Baptist and the far-out modernist, like your Harry Emerson Fosdicks, who say, well, the Bible contains the Word of God, but in itself, per se, is not the Word of God. And they say, now, just a minute, just a minute. Oh, they're so pious. Just a minute there. Let me tell you something. Who is to decide what is the Word of God? Isn't it? So they say, it's all the Word of God. Now, I come right down to this. Now, what's their answer? I'll tell you their answer when they're stuck. What does it really matter if I'm born again? Well, then why did God put it in? Well, that's some little secret. I can't take that answer. If it's a secret, it could be a parable. And a parable is not what you think it means. It's what he thinks, what God means it to mean. And I might not get it. What about the prodigal son? What about the rich man in hell? Parables. That'll leave them parables. Illustrate if you want. But you better leave it alone. So I'm smart. I'm going to find out. How are you going to find out? Okay? All right. This literally, in the literal Greek, is the Lord himself shall descend from the military command. Leave out the word military if you want, but it is military term of command. Just call it a command. The voice of an archangel. The article "the" is not there, it's "an." Thirdly, the trump of God. Now, according to any Bible student, perhaps he doesn't want to make his hand known, but he's going to have to. All three could be one event. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a military command, being the voice of an archangel, the trump of God. Yep, good. All three be one. All three be, as it were, phrases in apposition, but descriptive to the one event. So therefore the shout is really by an archangel, which in turn is the trump of God. Now don't tell me I'm kidding, because I'm not. Look, I've been in the books since last night. Studying. Furthermore, could all be in heaven? Or all on the way down from what is down, which is one high place, to a lower place, which is the atmosphere. It could only be to the dead. In fact, they will tell you, no way can it be to the living. Because God doesn't talk to the living anymore, except through this word. And the Roman Catholics don't have one bit of irresoluteness over the Protestants. No way. Because the Catholics say, leave it alone and we will tell you what it is. And the Protestants do exactly the same thing. Okay? They categorically say it is not to the living. Because if it is to the living, and there is no way, because they don't believe there's any way that God will approach a man anymore, because he's already approached them, for it categorically says over here in the book of Hebrews, and this ought to end it all, because anybody believes the Bible should end it all, God in many ways, and in many parts, in many ways, spoke to the fathers in the prophets in the last days, has spoken unto us in his Son, who he made heir to all things, and now he's finished speaking, period. He's not talking anymore. And where did Paul come from? So much for the woman preacher. That's the church. All mouth and no ears. Right out of their hearts. That's right. Women are accused of letting their hearts run them, not their heads. Men are accused of their heads. Now, women got it to the place where they're using their heads, and men are using their hearts. I'm not quite sure I got that right. There's a hodgepodge. It's perversion, but it is it's a pervert. Now let it be known. Now listen. Now let it be known. Unless there is an authentic missing book from the Scripture that explains exactly what this phrase means, and then only if that book is found, like the manuscripts in the caves of Qumran, and proven authentic, to really prove it's authentic, can we know for sure the actual truth of the rapture, or God must raise up Paul to explain it, or God must send someone in Paul's stead. For if the Scripture was ever understood, it is not now, nor ever can be understood, outside of a divine, authentic revelation. Now, you just tell me that I'm wrong. Or you're going to tell me, well, Brother Vail, it really doesn't matter, does it? Does it really matter what wife I'm supposed to marry? Does it really matter what car I'm supposed to get into and drive away? Does it really matter whose bank account I draw a check? Oh, Brother Vail, now you're getting way up. Oh, no, I'm not. Because if this doesn't matter, then nothing matters. Nothing matters, because if I can defy God and spit in God's face, I can spit in your face with greater impunity and have a ball doing and tell you where you can get off at and care less. Because you can't do one thing to me once my body's dead. But I got a Bible that says, beware of him that can throw body and soul into hell. Who would be authorized? Who would be authorized? Because unless there is a book missing. Now, there are missing books, but not in the canon. There's another book of Peter. Another book of Corinthians. That's true. You know that. Certain writings of Peter are extant right now. It's hard to get a hold of them. They're not in the canon. We would have to have some written book somewhere proven to be authentic. Or we have to have an authentic revelation from God. Someone would have to be authorized. The only hope we have at this point, or even a decent conjecture as to how this can be done, is to realize something from God has to come forth in the seals or the thunders. Because they're mysteries. And this is a mystery. Then it's got to be in the thunders or the seals. Now listen. And since those are closed, the scriptures also, they have no hope by themselves of being revealed. There's not a prayer or a hope in either the seals or the or the thunders that they are self-revelatory. Because we don't know what's there. Well, someone could say, well, I go with Brother Branham to the point, Brother Vail, where he said, it's got to be there in the Bible and it's sealed in as to an understanding or something. Well, who's going to give me the understanding or the something? I want to get my airplane off the ground. I got no mechanics. The mechanic, somebody said, I got no parts. The part man says, I got no manufacturer. Master said, I got nothing to make my parts from in the first place. Oh, merciful God. Get me off the ground. You don't get to get off the ground, son. Just shut up and lie down. What is it? Don't be serious about the rapture. What if I need to know something? What if it's an instruction? What if I should be someplace or do something? Or see, Brother Brandon, he gets... You see, look it. I want to tell you something. To the people who know, there are certain things that look like obfuscations and obscurities, literally almost malaprops, or deliberate problems set in the Bible. They say, hey boy, don't you come by and muddy the waters more. Well, you're bound to put a mystery on a mystery. According to them. But it's not so. Now, and since those are closed scriptures also, they have no hope by themselves of being revealed. They just suddenly won't pop open and be self-revealed. Nothing ever is. It must be brought to pass. Now, what if it's brought to pass in a way we don't get it? What if it's brought to pass and we miss it? Here's something. Brother Branham said, they're going to be gone. And the people left behind are going to say, hey, wasn't there supposed to be a rapture? Oh, yes, but you didn't have any problem denying and putting to one side as though it were nothing, the very thing that would have got you out of here. Now hold it, what was it? It was a shout and a voice and a trumpet. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm talking about the rapture that's written in the book here. Oh, that. I didn't understand that. What was it all about? What was it supposed to do? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a highly analytical person, but not to the point where I disregard this word. I use what I have, hopefully, for the things of God. However, in the light of all this, which is sort of negative, in the fact that it's difficult in penetration, if you just use your own thinking, instead of watching carefully everything what God said, Peter makes a statement that though in itself it is not the rapture, without the rapture, what Peter said would not take place. Well, let's go and find out 2 Peter. Verse 10, wherefore the first chapter 1, there, wherefore the rather, brethren. Now watch. Wherefore the rather. Now he says, like in this, the grace is rather glorious. Which means, hey, you watch this and put it in a place that is so far out in its and great in the magnitude of its wide-ranging powers and forces that you can't compare anything to it. Now, Peter's looking at that. Rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, he's telling you here that you are elected to a kingdom. And there is a way to be absolutely so sure that there's no way you're going to miss it. For if I'll not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in what is being observed and presently presented to you for your observation. Now what's he talking about? Getting into the kingdom. Yeah, I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle, stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And I said, I'm going to stir you up. He said, I start bringing to your mind certain things, he said, is going to have a force on you. He said, you might get agitated. Now, somebody thinks here, well, Brother Bill, that means to simply stir the guy up because he's sort of settled on his lees. He's sort of settled back and he's got too comfortable at ease in Zion. And this fellow's got to have his memory jogged again. Well, I'm going to tell you, when Brother Branham came on the scene, he more than jogged people's memories. He didn't titillate their fancy. Boy, he plumb stormed them around, put them in a centrifuge. Knowing that shortly I was put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always remembered. See, I'm going to make sure, he said, that I've got this word written out and I've got people to follow me, that they're going to keep hammering on this very thing, the kingdom. For we have not followed come to devise fables, stories with a moral. When we made known unto you the power, that's the dunamis, and the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. Now He's likening this to Sinai. Moses was there, Elijah was there, and a word came. We're back to Sinai. The thundering God on Sinai. You follow me? One was law, this is grace. We have also more sure word of prophecy. That is the word of prophecy made sure. He said that did not make it sure. I'm going to tell you what is going to make it sure. The same thing, but not a vision. This was only a vision. We have a word, the prophecy made sure. Whereunto you do take, you take heed. As unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn, the day star rise in your heart. Now he's telling you there is an experience reserved for this hour. And it's going to be the light shines. Why? He's quoting Jesus. As the light shines from the east to the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. He's telling you. And the day star going to rise in your heart. Already Paul has told us that. The eyes of the heart being illumined. That's exactly what Malachi said. The children being restored to the fathers turned around about. Remember the fathers of the prophets. Now watch what Peter says. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is any private interpretation, but know this, he says, concerning this prophecy made sure. He said, as it took a prophet who could not say his own thinking, who brought this word, so there'll be a prophet who does not have his own thinking, and he interprets the word. In other words, there comes at the end time interpretation 100% as it was given. That's why Brother Brown said, just think the same pillar of fire brought the word, is here revealing the word. That's 100% this word of God. And he said here, because it came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Forget it, shut up, drop down and die. It's no more the baptism than the Holy Ghost than nothing. That's God himself. There it is. There's a picture of what God's in. Yes, that is a picture that God had taken of himself. And a form visible. A camera caught it. That's the form he put to our naked eye. And a camera caught it. Let me tell you categorically, Brother Evans' son, I forget his name, out there looking out of his window, that morning saw the pillar of fire rising and falling. And he saw Brother Branham was out there somewhere in that valley on the mountain. The school kids were called to the window and said, look out there, children. But I'll tell you, you'll find something that nobody but the boy himself will tell you. Brother Branham wouldn't even say it. Beside the pillar of fire was a black cloud going up and down. Yes, Sinai! One star! He said, what's that black cloud? Abel and Gerizim, come forth the blessings on Mount Gerizim. Come forth the cursing, the judge. The judge who said, my children didn't sin in the first place. The same judge says, she's gone, she's washed, she's finished. No, people don't want that. I'll say, I do either. I'll preach it. At least I'll stand before him having done my best, having preached it. Say, Brother Bill, what if your own words condemn me? I wouldn't be surprised. My own words will, but his won't. Community, Revelation never wrote this Bible. One man at a time. One man at a time can get the revelation. That man has to be Elijah because he saw him there. The Scripture defines Elijah coming before this great and dreadful day. Turning the hearts of children back to the fathers. Let us understand, all fundamentalists believe we are physically changed and caught up to see him, and then we come back to the kingdom. And this is what he is talking about. And when this comes, you know there is going to be a rapture. So therefore, somebody, let me quote again, somebody the same as Moses in delivering Israel was involved in delivering a bride out of a church and bringing us into the reality. You say, well, hallelujah, I'm going to tell you, Brother Bill, I don't need nobody, I got God. You are a liar and a blasphemer. I'm sorry, but you just ain't worth my time. You just ain't worth my time. Because you're the same bird that'll go around telling how you've won souls and how you've done this and you've done that. And I've got the idea concerning you, my brother, and you're the guys listening to the tape and running them down, that without you, God couldn't exist. And you're right where the old Sanhedrin was, who said, when God got stuck, he called on us. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe what the president of South Africa said. If Moses had been a committee, the children of Israel would still be in Egypt. And the bride would be on her way to destruction without Elijah because the Bible said so. Now, who's Elijah? Don't tell me. Anybody here in this church or any place else can know exactly why John the Baptist ever preceded Jesus Christ except the Bible told you. Because the actual truth of the matter is, why did the Lord God of Israel need anybody to go before him? If he's God, stand up and be counted. Let God stand up and say, I don't need anybody. But he did. And don't tell me that the second coming doesn't need Elijah. That the rapture doesn't need Elijah because somebody's lying. The Word of God categorically tells us over here in Amos, the third chapter, and it is absolutely clearly defined, and this is not to Israel. This is carte blanche, straight across the board, how God acts. Verse 6, shall the trumpet be blown, the city, the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God spoke, who can but prophesy? That's not the book of Revelation. You tell me what is. Yeah, where did John come in? Write the book of Revelation of Jesus. Oh, they say, but Brother Ben, you don't understand. You see, Jesus gave it to John. Now hold it. I haven't got one record where Jesus wrote anything except in the sand, and that got obliterated. When God wrote in the 10 tables, Moses broke them, threw them down, they're pulverized, they're gone. I haven't got one thing that God wrote with a finger. The spells letters. For there's lots of things that God wrote by his hand that are called living epistles. Amen. Read and known of all men. Now you go to page 27. Page 27. 130. These three things happened to voice. A shout, a voice, trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. Now a shout. Jesus does all three of them. He's descending. A shout. What is a shout? It's a message going forth. First, the living bread of life bringing forth the bride. Bringing forth the bride. Turning the hearts of children back to the fathers. Gathering so on. All right, very good. We now go to chapter page 29. 141, 42. He's ordained these things to be. He must send this. The first thing comes when he starts descending from heaven, there's a shout. What is it? It's a message to get the people together. A message come forth first. Now lamp trimming time. Rise and trim your lamps. But watch, what was that? The seventh, not the sixth, the seventh. Behold the bridegroom. Rise and trim your lamps. And they did. Some of them found they didn't even have oil in their lamps. See? But it's lamp trimming time. It doesn't say it's lamp filling time, so lamp trimming time. They should have had oil when the lamps were trimmed. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you trim away your own thinking. You'll find out there's plenty light there. Sure. It's Malachi 4 time when you come. It's Luke 17 time. It's Isaiah. All these prophecies that it can perfectly set in order for this day in the Scripture, we see living right there. See, these things happen, my dear brother, sister, when God in heaven knows that I could die on this platform right now. You ought to walk around a while. It's tremendous when you see God come down from the heaven, stand before groups of men, stand there and declare himself just as ever he did. And that's the truth. This Bible open. See, we're here, and he stands right there and says, you're looking at God in the form of a man, God represented. He said, brother, I can't take that, brother Vail. Then I can't take you claiming you're full of the Holy Ghost. You are just nothing but a deadbeat. You haven't got one thing to authenticate you or vindicate you. Because look, I can get better virtue out of a cotton picking Hindu. Whether he picks cotton or not. Why is India the graveyard of their missionaries? Because they went over and saw a whole lot more love than we got. Oh, love, 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 love. Then go over there and see it. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Sneak home like a drowned rat, because that's what they were. Give me one vindication. I got more vindication. I don't want to hurt Bob's feelings, but he knows the truth. I got more vindication. If vindication means anything, according to a ministry of signs and wonders, I have got a ministry put all of you together and visions. I blow you into a cocked hat, whatever that means. And if you look at a guy that's vindicated, you've got to be sicker than I am. And I got a temperature of 110, double pneumonia, and two hernias, and I'm dying. I'll be dead in 5 minutes, spiritually speaking. I got nothing. I got nothing. Anything I've got is no more vindication than nothing. Because I can name you, literally, I believe, 50 men, if I scratch my mind real good, come up with 50 people that can out-vindicate me, 100 to 1. And they've got no vindication. No way, shape, and form. When you see God come down from heaven, stand before groups of men and declare himself. As ever he did. Do you think people want to believe that? Or if they say that was yesterday, and then they say, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And they work themselves in a frenzy, speak in tongues, prophesy, it all comes to pass. And they're dead, 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 because they lied in the face of God. They said, you are not the same. Because you can't have prophets. I wonder if you love the same Bible I love. I love this Bible because it takes everything away from us that is rotten, carnal, perfidious, no good, and gives us everything back if we only take it. Listen to what he said. In the 3rd chapter of Ecclesiastes, I know that whatever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, anything taken from it. For God doeth it, that men should fear before him. When did God ever change his ways? When did God stand before groups of men and declare himself? All right? The son of Imla. That old boy. Micaiah stood there. He said, I'm going to tell you something. So I'm going to tell you something. Let's get this flat. You're right. God gave you the land. But you forget that God said you forfeited that land when you turned on me. Now let's get this flat. Elijah prophesied, the dogs will lick your blood. You're gone. Jonah, Jesus, Paul, Peter, John. Lesser prophets have proven continuously that God never changes. That which has been is now. That which is to be hath already been. God requireth that which is past. He tells you, look, I'm expecting you to learn from what is past. Jesus said, you hypocrites, you discern the sign of the skies from what is past. Why can't you read your Bibles and know what is past and know I am here? Well, what are you here? I am that prophet. Hold it just a minute. prophet, yeah. There's something about a prophet, but Messiah. That's what we want. I'm that too. Just give me time. Okay. He moves amongst them. The signs and wonders. Oh, that's great. But they don't get the drift. He begins opening his mouth to teach what the truth is. Prophet now, mind you. They turn the prophet down flat. So they turn down the Messiah flat. I'm going to tell you something. You turn down the presence. You turn down the judge in your favor. You turn down that. You turn down both. You go ahead. Or you say, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're a liar. Say, brother, I don't believe that, Brother Bale. You see, nobody believes my preaching hardly except a bunch of idiots like you. It's good you lost your own mind, found the mind of Christ. Come, let me tell you something. I can quote you scripture again. He said this. He said, if I had not done the works that no other man did, they had not sinned. But now they both seen and hated, both me and my Father. And they saw it. And they said, I love him because he first loved me. Oh, yeah. Shed his precious blood for me. Hallelujah, Jesus.
He said, you hate me.
Oh, Lord.
Now, come on. What if you stood here today? What if you stood here and you're outside this message? How would you feel if that came to you? Murder. Murder. Say, oh, Brother Bill, I'd be devastated. I would be so hurt. You lie. You go right to your preacher. And they'd concoct to kill you. Let me tell you something was said about Lee Vail in more than one part in America. He's a dangerous man. We've got to stop him. I don't lie to you. I knew that before anybody said anything. Why am I dangerous? I don't go anywhere. Now listen, let's get serious. You think we're playing, maybe. Maybe I'm playing, I don't know. Maybe I'll say uncle when the squeeze comes. See, I got no pretenses. But I'm not vindicated, I'm just big mouth. But I cut. You bet I cut. I've never been a leader, and I'm not a leader. The only man living around Brother Branham that ever put him forward. Now, let's get this flat. I got to answer to God at the white throne and in this hour. Now, there might have been one person since me. I don't know. But the only word he ever got from Brother Branham was, Lee, you're the only one who ever put me forward. I don't know. He was the only one that ever put Jesus forward. William Branham went out in the onion patch when Jesus was around. Wasn't up there cutting hay swath. The same prophet had a vision one night. He heard, whoosh, 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 whoosh. He looked up on a great big black horse with scythe. You know, scythe just cuts grass, right? On all four legs, cutting grass. It meant money. And the voice spoke and said, that's so-and-so. William Branham wept for his wife. He said, Meaty, see these floors, big cracks. If I sold my gift like they did, we could have lovely floors and lovely rugs. Don't want him. He wept as he and I looked at a television set one morning, watching a certain brother with great tent, great crowds, and he said, I can't have that. But I knew in his heart, like anybody else, it's nice to be liked. It's nice to be somebody. Most of us can't carry it. He was somebody, and he made him, Jesus, the big one. And he wept. He said, I could have all that. He wants me for something else. Oh, yeah. Oh, I love you, Jesus. And hate that? Somebody lied. See, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Essentially, and what he does never changes, and how he does it never changes, and the people always react the same way. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The Bible is simply a record of what God said, and what God did, what man did in return, and then what God had to do afterward. It's always a record of what God does, and God says, and man does, and man says, then God does, and God says, and man does, and man says, until one day God says, shut up, sit down, and this is the hour. Hallelujah. I hope I've been one who had enough brains to shut up and sit down. I don't know. Where'd we go to? Oh, yeah. Now we go to page 32. We read 152 to 154. That's a long one. First thing is a shout. A messenger getting the people ready. That's good. Second is a voice of resurrection. Same voice, a loud voice is said in John 11, 38 and 44. They call Lazarus from the grave. Getting the bride together, then the resurrection of the dead. To be caught up with it, now the three things take place. What is it? A trumpet. Always a feast of trumpets was calling the people together to the feast. That'll be the bride's supper of the lambs, supper with the bride in the sky. See, first things come forth, the message calling the bride together. Next thing, resurrection of the sleeping bride. The one that died back in another age. They're caught up together, the trumpet, the feast in the heavens, and the sky wise, the same thing that takes place. Friends, we're right there ready now. We're right there ready, you see. Ready for what? For the rapture. So, Brother Bill, what's holding you back? Judgment. Judgment on the wicked. They're held in store. Like the earth is held in store, they're held in store. They're held in store of coal storage, you might say, or detention, for what's going to happen. The only thing the church coming out has got to lie in the sun to ripen. The great combine will come by after a while. Stalks will be burned, but the wheat gathered in the garner. You're not blind people. You're sensible people. If I stood here and said these things were prejudiced, now, do you think they're sincere? Not with women running their husbands. Now, this message has got a bad name because men are to be the head of the house, but they're not to be stupid with it. Now, we've got a lot of stupid men that say they believe this message. They no more believe this message than a hog does, as far as I'm concerned. Because they've got nothing on the ball. You can tell the way they treat your wives. Nothing to them. Any woman that... She better know who's her husband. Let me tell you something right now. You marry today. Don't ever come around me to babysit you or to talk with you. And ever say, Brother Vail, do you think I could divorce and remarry? I tell you flat, you do and you'll go to hell. You do. You will not go to heaven. Your husband will not go to heaven. Your kids will not go to heaven. Quote William Branham, prophet.
Amen.
In his own handwriting. Quote William Branham, you, if your daughter marries that renegade. You say, why do you talk that way? You've got pretty lenient views. Yes, I have lenient views. But not when you sit under my ministry as virgins. And that's male and female. That's right. I have to hit things pretty hard. You want to get this flat. Now, there's always certain areas where people didn't know better, but you cannot sit under my ministry or William Branham's or any minister in this gospel who has 1/2 ounce of true desire to be right. Just 1/2 ounce, I'll take. And you not know who you're supposed to marry. Now, years ago, you might not have known. But there's no way you can get past the fact you don't have a marriage unless it's a revelation. And you better have the right one. Because you can't do it after this. Now, if I get some of you folk upset, that's fine. You need to be upset. Just start seeking God. Just start seeking out. Because, look, it's just no place to fool around. If a jerk like me can pray to God and get the right wife, even though I say she has her tough luck, she might have got the wrong one. She didn't pray. As far as I know, leaving all the praying up to me, that's her tough luck. I don't think she feels that way. I know she doesn't. But I'm going to tell you, you women that can be bamboozled by men and men bamboozled women, there's something wrong somewhere. You're something wrong somewhere. It's not to be in this hour. There's nowhere to be in this hour. Now, he said, you're sensible people. I'm not saying this for prejudice. I'm preaching it because it's life. I'm responsible to God for saying it. And I must say it. And my message, all the time known back under healing and so forth like that, was just to catch the people's attention, knowing the message would come, and here it is. And them seven seals open. Now, we said a while ago, if it's anywhere, it could be under the seven seals. But how are you going to get to them? The book's in heaven. Who's going to get up there and open it? I'm going to tell you something. The only person that can open it is the fellow that shut it. That's the same one that sat down when he closed the book of Isaiah. He'd have to open it. Now, how are you going to get them? Oh, Lord, here I come. Jesus gave me a vision. Smirking, say,
I'm going to get something. Oh, boy, will I rock the people. Oh, boy, will they know I got something when I get it.
Now, come on. Isn't that exactly right? Now, come on. You know I'm telling the truth. Prophet is always running scared, brother, sister. A prophet in the presence of the pillar of fire is like a scared and wounded animal. Except before the people in discerning or preaching. When that pillar of fire strikes, I saw William Branham. I never saw a more frightened creature in my life. Oh, it's fun to be a prophet. It's even fun to preach. I'll go home with my guts churning until I can hardly eat or sleep after this, knowing I've opened my mouth on purpose to be clobbered, knowing if I had a half an ounce of brains, I'd go along with the crowd and say nice things. Them seven seals opened, those mysteries showing those things is what's happened. He's talking about the shout, see, the part of the rapture. I didn't know it, but there's men standing right here now, standing right with me when you heard me preach that sermon. Sirs, what is the time? All he did was just tell what happened and say, what could it be? Is this it? What is it? And the morning exactly where he said it would be, those stood 11 angels standing right from heaven. And as they went up in that whirlwind, took them up there, we watching, standing as they went away. Science took the picture of it across the nation down to Mexico. There, when I was watching one day, a member, he said, I preached in the seven church ages. I asked the theologian, who's that person standing there? There's one like the Son of Man, hair white as wool, a young man. How could he have white hair as wool? Brother Branham, Jack Moore said that was his glorified body. That didn't ring the bell. Then if it's not the glorified body, there it is. That wasn't glorified body. No, sirree. Theophany. Seven angels formed the theophany. Hey, that's something, isn't it? Went in the room, he let me know what it was. Judge. See? All right. I guess I preached everything, I read everything I need to read. All right. Now, we have seen three things that have been pointed out. A message to the living, a resurrection, a rapture. Now, that is absolutely supposed to be, according to William Branham, the correctness of the Word of God concerning the strange doctrine of the rapture brought to complete light, period. And it is strange. All right? Message, resurrection, a rapture, then, of course, the marriage supper, then the return to earth to take over. All right. Every believer, regardless of creed or denomination, who believes in the rapture, believes in the resurrection and the catching up. So that's two out of three. Resurrection, catching up, right? Okay. Brother Branham, therefore, takes an avenue. No one else does. A third part, it is that the shout is the message. Now it is message, resurrection, rapture, or shout, voice, trumpet. Shout is the message. Voice is resurrection. Rapture itself is the trumpet. Now, first of all, the message is to bring a bride forth. Page 27. Now, let's understand these. We're going into them each one. A message is to bring the bride forth. Paragraph 130, page 27. He's descending. A shout. What is a shout? It's a message going forth. First. The living bread of life bringing forth the bride. So, the message is bride bait. Yep. The message is what catches the bride. Three poles for the fishes. Chug it out. Dribble it. Bring it in excited. Catch them. There you are. The big fish. Okay.
Who do you mean? Well, is that the case? All right. Let's go further. It works a lot of angles when you work this one. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is part is done away. When I was a child, I speak of the child, and said the child, thought as a child, when I was a man, I put away childish things. But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I'm also known. And the day when he proves that he reads you just like a book that's open, this hour, that's the day that you know him face to face. See why I preach this way? Dear old servant of God years ago, I said, Brother Reynolds, tell me, how do you get people full of the Holy Ghost in your church like you always do and healed? He said, son, you get what you preach for. I'm preaching for this. On a Wednesday night, I'll show you the Word of God to prove that I'm right. I preach for it, I'll get it. You want to mess around? I hate to hurt people's feelings, but look, brother, sister, I'm just that kind of a preacher. I can't ever hurt your feelings, because all I've got for in this life is to hopefully say, God, you're here and I'm here. What are you going to do about it? I've given up carriage, I've given everything else. I've got no way. I'm despondent, I'll be honest with you. Critical of everything else. But there's one thing I'm looking at. He's got to be here.
Amen.
He's got to be here. It's like Job said, I look behind me, I can't see him. Look in front, I can't see him. The doctor. He said, what are you trying to do? Oh, he said, I know he's not trying to make me weak and run me down. He's trying to put strength in me. Just keep watching. Amen. God may be surrounded by dark clouds, but out of the darkness comes light. Say, sure. I'm preaching to get it. He told us who he was and the truth of the Godhead. We saw the mystery of God. We learned the great revelation of the hour, which there is one God, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and you must be baptized in his name, and the gates of hell are against it. But the devil can't stop it.
Amen.
But don't stop there. Remember, he who revealed himself personally was also there with his wisdom. Thus he revealed the time and the plan of the bride, as he revealed the time and the plan of himself. And now she is increasing in her knowledge of him and herself and their relationship. That means she's got to come right up to him. That means in the rapture. Not like those who look back or to the future. She knows now. Brother Brown said the cardinal sin has always been looking back or looking forward, not looking now. It's like he said, the scripture said, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. He'll do this when he comes, he'll do this when he comes, he'll do this when he comes. And then it says, he came and he did it, he came and he did it, he came and did it, he's gone. That's not the way it's going to be, leave him. Now, I may be a crud up here and I've never apologized. I am what I am. You hear me here in my gutter language, that's the kind of guy I am. I'm a gutter boy. I never pretend to be up there floating around. I'm with the gutter birds, let's face it. But I got one hope. I've got one hope. I'm not looking back. I've cut off. I'm looking what's right in front of me. I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to have a set of evil. To the best of my knowledge. But I'll be one of the historians who cried the same cry. Oh, he's coming, he'll do this, he's coming, he'll do this, he's coming, he'll do this. And then when he's gone, I'll say, well, he came and he did it, he came and he did it, he's gone, but I'm here. No, by the grace of God. I see him now.
Amen.
And beholding him is going to make the difference. I can't make myself, I know that, but ask you one question. Why was I called to look if it wasn't to get the benefits?
Amen.
And he was revealed by his own word, and she as a part of that word. She's a part of it. So she's revealed too. And then she's revealing him. Best you can do right now is talk about it, and God doesn't mind that. Let's find out what God says about those who talk that way. I like some of these scriptures. Of course I'm biased to certain scriptures. Certainly I am. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they should be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. And I'll spare them as man spares his own son that serves him. There it is. That's the best she can do. That's all she's required to do. What was Paul required to do to give a testimony to God? That that's what the apostle was required. And he needed the signs and wonders to prove it. And William Branham was in the same group. What more do we need than the testimony? Nothing. We're identified. Uniting time message. 2 Thessalonians, is bringing us into a unity that will bring on the squeeze. For we will say with Jesus, I and my Father are one. That's the vertical to the horizontal. When you get looking at him, you know he's looking at you. You'll find yourself a unique people because you'll know people don't believe that way. It'll divide homes, families, everything. The best he can do. It's up to God to bring you. God's going to bring you. My wife and I see eye to eye. Of course, our marriage was meant that way. That's good. I know what it's going to do to families. There's coming a day when there won't be a remembrance of a family, as you know it today. And you'll find that the home that mothered you, the mother that bore you, and the father that sired you, as you think, was merely a carrier. And your real parents were there as you came down in the right election, the right foreknowledge predestinated by God. Ephesians 1:22b. I'll get you out of here in a few minutes. No service this afternoon. We had one last night. And I like that. 22b says, and gave him to be head over all things, the church of his body, the form of all things is all things. He's filling it in this hour. He is filling that part of her left of himself, the word, for this hour. And that is 1 Corinthians 15, part of it is, to the living now. 15:51, I show you mystery and all of you will all be changed, won't take me out the last trumpet, trumpet sound, seven church, eight messenger. The dead shall be raised into corruption, and then we're going to be changed. For this corruption, this morning, corruption, this mortality. And when it's done, death stands back for a while. Jesus comes to this bride himself to bring her into immortality and into his kingdom. And she will not come into the tribulation. Go and do it. 1 Peter 1:13-17. Good Lord, in your mind, be sober, hope the end of grace that has been brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What's it say? A special grace to be brought of the apocalypse when he manifests, openly declares and shows who he is. As obedient children, not fastening yourself according to the form of lust and ignorance. You had a certain pattern of life that age brought you, but this age brings you something different. Where your one prime concern is the Word and nothing else. As Brother Brown said, I feel so sorry for this age. I'm worried lest they fall in line as they did in Matthew 13. The cares of this world take them from the Word as obedient children. But as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of behavior. Because written, be holy for I am holy. My Brother Brown explained that. Nobody can be holy as God. Nobody can be perfect. That's just God do something by it. What did you do by it? By the blood. How can you make a man of sin in the blood of Jesus Christ scatter sin? And if you call on the Father who without respect of person judges the ordinary man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now listen, at the time of his revelation, we're looking for a special grace from Almighty God, which grace will take us out of this world. So understand clearly now his wisdom was manifested by Malachi 4, 5, and 6, which proves the resurrection is near for those who believe. And the knowledge of him opens the door to perfect faith, worship, oneness, where nothing is secret anymore. But calling us friends, he lets us know what he is doing. And that ministry of the Spirit is so beautiful in the saints, which is coming down the road, that oneness, when the vertical is truly in the horizontal, it'll be here. So what he does, so we see what he does, rather, and we see the effect of that knowledge. He presents himself and she believes him. That he will take her to the wedding supper, as Eliezer talked to Rebecca. He is here now, and he is finishing in the bride what he left for this hour. The last one's child trained and immortalized. He at that time when he was here said, search the scripture and find out it is I in the scripture who talks to you. And he says the same thing today. Search the scripture and see if the Bible proves it. And if the Bible proves it, it will be reproduced, as he said, and you are born again. Born again to the incorruptible hope, brother, sister, which we had 2,000 years ago, but the hope is coming to pass today. It takes an incorruptible seed. That's why we're dead to the old creeds and dogmas. Freshly impregnated by way of the mind to bring forth a replica, another image of Jesus Christ, as the image of God. You say, how's it going to come? I've been talking about it all the time. He's doing it. As long as you want to look at him, behold him. If there's too much to see, you get more. But you know something? Someone's going to see him. By the grace of God, we can be that people. It's got to be by grace. It's got to be by election. I've never told you this is something you're going to work up. But I've let you know, as the prophet did, if you're part of it, you'll be looking at it. And you'll be seen. You know, there's something I've demanded at certain times in my life. And that demand was this. There's no way I can have confidence in certain people unless they eyeball me. Look me right in the eye. No way. Gone too far. And I want to tell you, God is eyeballing the people today. Are the people ready to eyeball back? No, they're not. Too many creeds and dogmas in the way. Too many organizations. Too much to lose. I don't figure I've got anything to lose. I've done lost it all anyway. You say, how do you know, Brother Dale? Look, I left it all, didn't I? I was so stupid, I didn't have any more brains than to get into it. If I'm left to my own, I'd be just as stupid to get back in. I'm finished. It's got to be trust once and for all. Amen. You've got to come to the place where you believe when he appears. At that unveiling, you will be blameless. Don't put that, my brother, at the judgment seat as though God is going to judge you. As though you could ever be judged. There is no way, for the bride cannot come into a judgment.
Amen.
That is a placing of God's favors upon you, whether you love him enough to do what his word said.
Amen.
And where you did it, consciously and unconsciously, you will get a reward and a presentation. But this, what I'm talking about, is here. Blameless, holy, righteous, undefiled, established in his presence to walk to immortality. All of grace, because he came to do it. Do we see him doing it? Now, brother, sister, there's very few to see him doing it. That's a very good sign. Because the majority has always been wrong. It is only the minority. 7,000 out of maybe 4 million have not bowed the knee. I think the same percentage could hold good. I don't know. But I know one thing, as the prophet said, and I agree with him so well do I agree. He said, I'm not riding the midnight trail screaming, he's coming. Now, the way the book sounds like, he's talking about the Antichrist. Don't you believe it?
Amen.
He didn't have any heralding message for an Antichrist. And we already knew he was here. The Spirit. John says so. I'm not riding the midnight trail screaming, he's coming. He's done already come.
Amen.
The gates of hell against the revelation. That Jesus Christ is here, and the same yesterday, and today, and forever. And the devil hates it, and the gates of hell hate it. The kingdom of darkness is against it. But let me tell you, it isn't going to prevail, because he is going to change your mind and take her away, because that is, thus says the Holy Scripture, and that is the revelation the prophet gave us, shall we write. Merciful God. We praise and thank you again for the time we've had here to study your word, believing, Lord, that it brings some loose ends together and clarifies even much more than we have been able to bring previously to help the people, scripture lining up, not lining up, Lord, as man would see it, granting that, but lining up in the word. Now that we see the message, as the prophet said, that's all we will see in the word, and we're glad for it and thankful for it. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for that former rain that has been re-sown, the teaching. And now we know, just waiting for the mixing of the latter rain, which is already here, to bring the dead out of the ground. and to change us. In the meantime, Lord, we will, by your grace, and even now, with this simple thing, we seem to fall so short as to be pitiful. How often are we speaking one to another, fearing the Lord, believing on His name, the message in our hearts and lips, jewels waiting to come into the crown, knowing righteousness from unrighteousness, him who serves God and him who doesn't, having been turned back in the hearts of faith, to the very faith that Jesus himself had when he went to the cross, to redeem us, to pay a price of satisfaction for God, to see the travail of his own soul and be satisfied, for he shall see the seed. Lord, I believe that today. We're willing this morning, Lord, for you to take your scalpel, your sword, your word. Remove every veil from within every mind this morning and every heart. Circumcise every mind and every heart. And shut us up with the joy, because it is joy, of being pregnant with the word of Almighty God, where Satan cannot touch us again. But he has established us. Once, Lord, it could be prayed unto him who shall establish us. But now it can be said, thanks unto God who hath established us. And a part of the kingdom. Bless each one, Lord. Those traveling, far, near, whatsoever, journey mercy for healing, for hearts, whatever, Lord. We know there's a bomb in Gilead. We know, Lord, if not one thing was to be done from now on, just waiting for this resurrection and change, that would be sufficient. But never once, Lord, did you ever say you were not the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the voice that said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am your provider. I am your seed, receiving great reward. I am your shepherd. I am all these things. There has not been one decline or abnegation. Then how much more at this hour revealing? Let that sweet spirit, God himself, move amongst us. Till there be not one feeble one in our midst. Let this love of God, liquid love of the Holy Spirit, that has tied each one of us to you as individuals, now tie each and every one together in the love and bowels of compassion which are in Christ Jesus our Lord and amongst us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Lord bless you. Wednesday at 7:30 we continue in the same line, same series, but with different titles. We have a different information until we come to the first week or so in July, when at that time, hopefully, I'll be ready to take you to the seventh seal to show you why I believe the seventh seal is what I have been preaching all along here, which is Revelation 10:1-7, taking the words about. So the Lord bless you. And let us sing a little song and then take the name of Jesus with you as we are ready to go.